Okay, it's my pleasure to introduce you to Eric Gardner. He's 21 years plus in the Air Force, and he oversaw key administrative, clinical, and logistical areas in the military healthcare system. In fact, it was when Eric was in the Air Force that we first met him in San Antonio. He had been told about Healthcare Think Tank, and he came to a meeting, and Eric really kind of stood out because he's well over 6 foot tall and he was wearing fatigues. We hadn't had anybody in the military come to our meetings. So we embraced him. We really kind of adopted him, and he kept coming back. And the reason he was is because he was going to be retiring from the military and he wanted to see what was out there from a civilian perspective. And so we said, we're gonna help you. And he landed a great job. So, and we're gonna be hearing from him. So Eric was about to, so now he wears, show him that you're in a tie and you're not in your fatigues anymore. See, now he has to dress like one of us. And his current role is Vice President of Optima Care and at WellMed Medical Management. He leads a team focused on an optimal approach to engage patients, providers, and specialists in an effort to improve the delivery of evidence-based care, improve network efficiency, and access to care. In late February of this year, he began leading the digital health and telemedicine team at WellMed, and today he is here to share their journey. And we will meet someone else whom he works with on this new project. So we're anxious to hear from you. And I actually found out what you were doing. I was at the airport in San Antonio and we ran into each other when we were both on our way to Dallas. Isn't that right, Eric?
That's right.
And so we renewed our friendship. So take it away.
Great, thanks so much. Let me share my screen here. First and foremost, it's an honor and a pleasure to be with you all and to share a little bit about the great things that we're doing at WellMed. I am representing our 8,000 employees and over 263 clinics, as well as a lot of other folks. So I appreciate this opportunity to share a little bit with the team about the great work that's happening there. Really, I think every day I think about this mission that we have to change the face of healthcare for the nation, and I truly believe that we're affecting that change a little bit every day. Let's see if I can move forward. I just want to level set with everybody. I'm not sure if everyone knows what WellMed Medical Management is or where we're at. So this is our 30th year in existence. Dr. George Rapier created WellMed back in 1990. I was in sixth grade at the time, and so there's a lot of foundation that was laid before I got here to help lead the efforts that we're doing. So throughout the years, there was some ebb and flow, and really the key piece of this puzzle here was in 2011, Dr. Rapier and the team sold off a good chunk of the business, as well as our health plan, to United Health Group and Optum. So we became a part of United Health Group and Optum, and our growth and trajectory has just skyrocketed over the last several years. Little bit more on this. Again, mission and vision are important to me. As Linda mentioned, coming from the military, I wanted to make sure that the organization I was joining aligned with the things that are important to me. And I think that we invest a lot of time and resources into our culture and building these out. And it's really shined through in the last several months as everyone's rallied around the patient and keeping them first. Just a little bit more perspective on WellMed and Optum as a whole. WellMed is a CDO under Optum, a care delivery organization, and we're in charge of taking care of all the patients in Texas, Florida, and New Mexico, and we partner with a lot of the other CDOs that are out there. In fact, the technology that I'm going to share with you and our partners are on, I'm keeping them a secret right now, but we packaged up kind of our best practices from WellMed and shared those with the other CDOs and let them run with it as well to make sure that our patients across the nation were getting taken care of. So WellMed is a pretty amazing organization. We have a lot of businesses inside of our organization, as well as all of our partners at Optum that partner together to really take care of our patients and make sure that all the resources that we have are utilized as efficiently as possible. And so, you know, full picture, we have transportation services. A lot of our population is Medicare Advantage. And so part of Medicare Advantage, for those of you who aren't up to speed on that, there's a lot of additional benefits and great resources that are available for those patients, including rides to and from the appointment if they so choose. So we have a business inside of our company that helps us with that. And this is the strength of the folks that we're engaging. So about 22,000 providers that we help with their medical management. As I mentioned before, we have 263 employed clinics that are fully integrated. And those are the ones that, you know, we have WellMed physicians, WellMed medical group physicians working in, and our staff, those 8,000 FTEs that I'd mentioned before. And we're taking care of, you know, close to a million lives now. And each one of those are extremely important to us. Take great pride in the fact that WellMed, again, rallied around the patients and did whatever we could to see those patients. Not all these patients come to our clinics, but during the COVID crisis, we were able to reach out and help with our partners that had closed their doors because they just couldn't keep operating. And so we have mobile units and drive-through visits and all kinds of great things that we offer to our patients to make sure they got the care.
Eric, are you meaning to share your slides? I don't see slides. Maybe I'm the only one that isn't. This is Anne Salomon. I'm not seeing slides. Is anybody else?
I'm not seeing slides either. If you can hit let's do the share again and we'll make sure we get those up.
We don't see any slides.
There we go.
Ah.
Now we got them.
Sorry about that.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, this is, I'll go real quickly. This is kind of our timeline trajectory of where we're at and where we've been. Mission, vision, values, again, just a real quick snapshot of that. But these are all the CDOs, the care delivery organizations. I apologize for not sharing. But as I mentioned, WellMed is in Florida, Texas, and part of New Mexico. And these are all of the services that we provide and partner with in our company. I think I was around this portion, and we have 22,000 providers that we support through medical management, giving them information about their patients and helping them to engage their patients in meaningful ways to make sure that they're getting the care that they need. These are all of our employed markets. So across Texas, all the metroplexes, DFW, Austin, San Antonio, Houston, Corpus Christi, the Valley, Rio Grande Valley, and El Paso, and then parts of New Mexico as well. And
I may have missed the key point. Are you a provider of healthcare?
We are. We have a little over 1,000 primary care providers and advanced practice clinicians. And then we help contract and affiliate providers that have United patients to help them manage their care. Across Florida, these are our major markets that we're in. And as I mentioned, in our partnership with United, we're awarded these contracts to oversee the medical management of, and one of our plans that includes San Antonio, Dallas, Fort Worth, and Corpus Christi is actually a 5-star plan. There's only a handful of those across the nation. So to get to 5 stars, there's a lot of great work that happens. Unfortunately for 2021, that plan went to a 4.5 star because of some of the patients we're unable to reach this year. But the efforts that I'm going to share with you really did lead to closing some of those gaps and getting us to that 4.5 stars. And these are the plans that we cover in Florida. But the WellMed care model, again, we're a high touch organization. We preventative care, data, care management, care coordination, technology, all those pieces are very important to our organization and how we run. And so there's a lot of sophisticated things happening and a lot of amazing talent that we have in our corporate offices in San Antonio and across our markets that help with the delivery of this care. And the business model, we're a physician-centric organization. It started with a physician. We always have physicians engaged in all of our business planning. And I think Dr. Van Dyne's on, he's my partner in crime and telemedicine, and several other physicians that help us with making sure that we're doing the right things for the patient and taking care of our clinical staff as well. But I want to talk about a time before COVID. This is sort of our BC slide. And Dr. Van Dyne and Vistal Henderson, my director of digital health, laid a lot of great groundwork on our digital health stance and putting together a telemedicine platform and deploying that. So the telemedicine platform that we deployed, we labeled it My Health Team. And it deployed in October of 2019. And Dr. Van Dyne and Vassal would fly from city to city and onboard each physician and PA and nurse practitioner one at a time, one-on-one, training them through the platform and getting them engaged into the service. As you can imagine, before COVID, telemedicine wasn't something that folks necessarily wanted or thought that they needed. As you can see, there was 42 providers that were trained and about 213 patients that had registered for the platform and just a handful of appointments that were booked. That's not to say there wasn't a ton of great work done and the foundation wasn't laid. It was indeed, and this is what set us up for success in the future. But, as COVID evolved and folks realized they needed access to telemedicine, things rapidly turned around and we sort of changed our perspective. Everyone wanted telemedicine, right? And so we trained all of the staff. We had the learning sessions. We had a Genius Bar established where our providers could come in real time in the middle of an appointment and ask us a question about setting up their microphone in Chrome or their camera settings. And so that team really helped establish some of these milestones that we met here. And this slide in particular shows the evolution of care, right? So the blue line is our face-to-face visits. As those decreased when COVID hit, because everyone sort of either delayed or deferred care to a later date, we started calling our patients because, again, we're a high-touch organization. We want to talk to you. We want to see you. Make sure you have the medication that you need, because preventative medicine is where we really thrive. And so as those calls, there was only a couple of weeks there. Each one of these bars is a week in time. So the green is the calls. You can see the green went up that first week after the clinic started seeing a drawback from patients going out and venturing out to the clinics. And then we rapidly kicked in the telemedicine gears and trained all of our providers, all of our support staff to be super users and to onboard our patients onto these onto the service. But we weren't getting quite back to the throughput that we're used to and the ability to see all those patients. And we noticed that there was a need there. And that's where we came up with the tablet program. I'm calling it the tablet program because I'm going to introduce my guest speaker here in a minute about the technology so he can talk about it a little bit. But as you can see, the tablet and telemedicine now consumes about 30% of our daily throughput in our clinics. So it really did help us see our patients. And just a year over year sort of look of, 2019 to 2020, I'm a business guy. I look at numbers and to complete the mission, we need to make a margin, right? So the dip there and then the correction, just a few weeks worth of really hard work and partnership with our partners that I'll introduce here in a second, helped us with closing that gap. And so over the last several months, we've done over 100,000 visits on the tablets and about 150,000 visits through telemedicine. And so as I mentioned, the problem that we noted was that patients had, lack of technology or lack of the ability to connect to
a telemedicine platform. So this guy crashed Outlook, doesn't open.
We scoured the internet and found some great partners that on a Friday, I think I called the line on their website and asked for a demo unit. And then the next Monday we requested 25 units. And then by that Friday we requested another 1,000. And so these devices are amazing, have an easy button on them, so to speak, where our patients can connect with our providers. And we worked out the logistics to transport these around our markets so that those patients that had issues with transportation or didn't feel comfortable with getting out to see us in our clinics, they could have one of these devices delivered. Also to add to sort of the evolution of care and why I think we were successful in getting back to close to a 95% of our throughput numbers and engaging our patients and making sure that they had all the resources available was this sort of Swiss Army knife approach, and that we had several different options that were available. And we have a great team of folks that we have folks from Disney that help us with scripting and engaging patients and doing things to make sure everyone is comfortable and they understand their resources that are available. And so we had scripting to kind of walk the patient through the fact that we have these resources available and we really want to see you. With that, I will introduce you to our partners at GrandPad. Nathan Vaught is on. He is the director of strategic accounts and one of our partners in this journey. And I want to turn it over to Nathan.
Thank you. Thanks, Eric. I want to introduce my colleague, Jim Ford from GrandPad, who is here as well. He's another one of the directors of strategic accounts. And thanks, Eric, for inviting us. Working with WellMed has been something of a revelation. They really are. Eric can't say this as loudly as we can, but they are in the healthcare space, so well-known, respected, and innovative. I came to GrandPad about 6 months ago. I'd spent 15 years prior to that working in the Medicare Advantage world. I worked for a small consulting company that spun out of Deloitte and Touche. And we were deep in Medicare Advantage world, building software and doing consulting work, revenue reconciliation, enrollment planning, all of the things that a healthcare partner would need to work with the Centers for Medicaid Services. So I came to GrandPad with an eye very much on healthcare spending for seniors. As all of you, I think, probably know, Medicare Advantage has been a capitated payment model for years and years and years. And so I walked in the office at GrandPad and I just saw something that I thought could very simply help take better care of seniors and hopefully at a lower cost. And I think that's what WellMed is focused on doing. Really, anyone who's got their head right in the Medicare Advantage space is into doing that. And really, as a country, we have to think about how to do that, because the next 10 years, as every single baby boomer becomes Medicare eligible, healthcare costs are going to become even a bigger nut than they are today. And so the kind of innovative high touch care that WellMed is doing is mission aligned with what GrandPad is doing. And so I'll tell you a little bit about the GrandPad story, and I encourage you to just jump in and ask us questions. We can focus on the technology too. I know we don't have a ton of time, so we'll try to cover what we can, but in the interest of making sure that I am covering what you need, don't hesitate and stop me if you need to. So GrandPad is a device, it's a tablet. It's designed by us and built by Acer, but it is very different from other tablets that are on the market. And the primary thing that is different is that it is custom designed and built for seniors. The company was founded 7 years ago by a father and son. It's a very mission-driven company. And the mission is simply to improve the lives and reconnect seniors with their family and loved ones. That's what started GrandPad. It started very much focused on the consumer market. So selling to consumers and family members who wanted to reconnect their family and loved ones. And particularly with the advent of COVID now, it has become much more moving into the space of healthcare delivery and telehealth. And we can talk about the model that Eric is using, but just so you understand a little bit more about our background and who we are first. I remember talking to a PACE partner of ours. We work with a lot of PACE organizations, for those of you who know the program for the all-inclusive care of the elderly, a very high-touch model for people who have a lot of comorbidities, really qualify for nursing home care. We are partnered with, I think, close to 30 PACE organizations now. And she was describing what she called the silver lining of Hurricane Katrina. You all live in that world. I hate to talk about silver linings for something like that. And she talked about how for so many healthcare providers in that part of the country, there was, you know, a very slow move to adoption of electronic medical records. And what happened in Katrina, so much flooding, so much destruction of those medical records, so much loss, really was the accelerant that the industry not so much needed, but the silver lining of that was it really drove people to electronic data management of medical records. And perhaps if there's to be a silver lining or one of the silver linings that we may find that comes out of COVID is an accelerated adoption of telehealth. You can talk to people in the industry. I certainly attended conferences prior to COVID, as Eric said, BC. And, you know, there was a lot of talk about telehealth. There was a lot of talk about the potential, the opportunities, what could be done, how this could improve care, how it could drive down costs, not even specifically senior focused, but just in general. And I think most people who are focused on that, there were advocacy groups, they would tell you that the world changed dramatically in March of 2020. Telehealth suddenly became the preferred go-to model out of necessity, but it also uncovered the benefits that were there before, but now have just become, you know, writ large and really in high relief now. So these are just some statistics. We pulled this bottom point here from a study that was done here in Minnesota. But by early April of 2020, just 1 month after the federal government declared an emergency, telemedicine was accounting for 69% of health visits, and the home had become the hub of healthcare delivery. And that is just remarkable. I don't have pre-COVID statistics off the top of my head, but that kind of acceleration in telemedicine is just astonishing for people really focused on this. So if there is good news out of COVID, maybe this will be one of those pieces. This graph just kind of gives you a visual depiction of that. It's really is 1,000 words here. You can see the acceleration of telehealth during COVID. And you know, the question really coming out of this is what's next? Are we going back to a pre-COVID model of care delivery? And I think a lot of us kind of hope no. I think Eric can tell you that you know, their story is COVID or not, there's real benefits to being able to reach particularly the senior population this way. Obviously there's gonna be a certain number of visits that have to be done in person, but how many can we avoid, right? How much better care and how much higher touch and how much more convenient can it be for these folks if you can reach them digitally, if you can have a reliable way to do that? You know, we often say, look, you don't want to go into a doctor's office if you're 85 right now because you might get COVID. But let's face it, up here in Minnesota, an 85-year-old doesn't really want to go into a doctor's office on any given Tuesday because they can pick up something. Everybody in that waiting room is there for something. some sort of healthcare reason, and a lot of it is viral and a lot of it is contagious. So, you know, there's so many possibilities that I think await the healthcare delivery world post-COVID. We're getting introduced to them in a very accelerated way here during COVID. But, you know, these are just some of the highlights. I mean, I think we think so much post-acute care can be done with telemedicine, certainly mental health care. I anticipate, a lot of others do, that there'll be a huge shift in mental care delivery towards telehealth. There's real benefits for rural populations that are far away from clinics, the kind of increased access they'll have, particularly to specialists who may not be in the area but can be reached via telehealth. Increases in staff efficiency. I mean, we're seeing this already with a lot of our healthcare partners. You know, clinical staff who can increase the percentage of visits they can do in a day, and they can do it in a way that is less demanding on them if they can do it via telehealth. There's a lot of talk now in the industry about website manner, you know, learning to have the tools and ability to engage via the telehealth platforms that are available. There was a certain skill set to do that in an office. There's a slightly different one now that is coming into play with telehealth. And we really are seeing this as we work with our PACE population as well, that it can be a great equalizer for vulnerable populations. You know, a lot of the people that we're working with, they are vulnerable, they are poor, they don't have access to the kind of technology that most of us are familiar with. They don't have a $1,000 iPhone 11 at their disposal. And so telehealth options that can serve those vulnerable populations are going to become, I think, very important and critical as we move into the post-COVID world. Certainly specialist shortages are an increasing problem in the healthcare world, and telehealth can be a source of alleviation there. And we certainly hope that we can see efficiency and cost savings. And I think Eric can speak to this with hard numbers, but just anecdotally working with the partners we've worked with, we're certainly seeing that. But the question is really just, you know, as we talk about folks who are out there in the most vulnerable and older populations, really the folks who spend the highest amount of our healthcare dollars, what do you do when you can't reach them? We presume that when you have a 40-year-old patient, you can get them on their iPhone, but you can't presume that about an 85-year-old. Even if they have the technology, you can't presume that they can download the app they need to engage with the platform that your clinical providers are using. And so, you know, these struggles were there before. As the industry shifts more towards telemedicine, these will become more and more acute for that population of older folks who don't engage with technology. These people struggle with things that I think if you've worked with them are very real, and they're very detrimental. Loneliness, isolation, depression are real factors for seniors. They have real health consequences. We talk a lot at GrandPad about how that kind of loneliness and isolation is like smoking 15 cigarettes a day. There's clinical data that proves that. They don't have the same kind of access to technology that we all do. And that is going to shut them out of the telehealth revolution that I think we're on the doorstep of here. And that's going to, and unfortunately, if the industry shifts more towards telehealth as a primary model of delivery, the people who really need the most care, a percentage of that or a subset of that population, those seniors, are going to get left behind. And that's really where GrandPad kind of fell into this healthcare space. We have purpose designed and built a tablet and an ecosystem that is specific to seniors. And so what we can offer and what we're partnering with Eric to do is really a digital health endpoint that can be handed over to seniors so that they can participate in telehealth easily and without necessarily having to manage, monitor, and deal with the device on their own. So let me just pause there and see if there are any questions. We've talked a lot. So let me pause and just see if we have any questions at this point. And then we can talk a little bit more about what we actually mean when we talk about a GrandPad and what it actually does.
May I ask a very simplest question? You say your mission is to help people, but I didn't catch your business model. Who pays you?
Yep.
Who are your customers?
Yep.
And how is the business put together?
Sure. So GrandPad started out very much as a consumer electronics company. So our founders had a problem in their life that I think is familiar to a lot of us. They had seniors in their lives, mother, grandmother. Our company was started by a father and son, and they lived apart, but they were not successful at getting their mother, grandmother to connect with them digitally. You know, any of you who have an experience like this, I've gotten my mother a laptop, set her up on Wi-Fi, we run into trouble and I become the IT department. So our company was really founded with that mission in mind. Build technology that is comfortable and easy for seniors to use. Wrap it with a customer support platform that really serves them, that gives them a very high touch model of support, and buy it as a consumer electronics product, they can connect with their family and friends in a way that's enjoyable and easy and so forth. That's the consumer model. Our business model is we partner with CDOs like WellMed, Medicare Advantage payer providers like PACE organizations.
I was really asking about WellMed, not do the hardware.
So in WellMed's case, and Eric, jump in. So in WellMed's case, they have licensed from GrandPad a fleet of GrandPads. They use those for telehealth. They deliver them to the senior for a telehealth visit. The senior doesn't have to worry about downloading anything. They don't have to own the technology. They don't have to understand the technology. The WellMed clinicians can then reach out to the senior for that appointment, engage them for that telehealth visit. WellMed then retrieves the device, brings it home, and enables it and prepares it for the next visit. That's that business model. We call that a roving model, where the GrandPack technology is out roving in the field, essentially being delivered to seniors for telehealth visits that they otherwise couldn't participate in because they don't have the technology and the, you know, and the connectivity to be able to engage with the provider.
Yeah, and just a little bit more on the WellMed business model. So, as I mentioned, we're at risk for about 560,000 Medicare Advantage lives, and we get a per member per month payment from CMS. So those Medicare and Medicaid patients as well. We have Medicaid and Medicare and fee-for-service patients, but for the most part, we're at risk for any expense that those patients incur through their medical care. So it's to our advantage to make sure that we're preventing and treating any illnesses that our patients have. And so that's why we invested in this platform, and we have a fleet of these devices, the GrandPads, I can say that now, a fleet of these GrandPads that we move around with our patient transport team. So, you know, we have that transport team that would take patients to and from appointments. But in these crazy days, they're not doing as much of that. And so we reallocated that staff to deliver these GrandPads. And we also deliver peripheral devices with the GrandPad so that we can close care gaps, get their blood pressure, check some labs and things like that. And so when we deliver those to the patient, we deliver it with some instructions, and then we'll come back that same day and pick them up, clean them, of course, and then get them on to the next patient if there's another patient to deliver it today.
And so what Eric's describing is what we call our roving model. So the core technology, the GrandPad, which is a custom-built tablet, we work with our business partner, Acer. Acer's founder sits on our board. They design the GrandPads to our specifications and build them that way. That core functionality, the way that WellMed is using it in a roving model, simply goes to the senior so that they have an easy, reliable way to engage in that telehealth visit so that the clinicians, the CDOs, can do the work they need to, you know, close their gaps in care, maintain their payment model with CMS and so forth. The other model, the other business model we have is what we call more of a one-on-one model. And this representative case of this would be a PACE organization. They're responsible for sort of daily wraparound care of their patients. And in those cases, what they're doing is also licensing a fleet of our GrandPad devices, and they're putting them in the patient's homes because those patients are really nursing home eligible. That's how many sort of comorbidities and daily living assistance type things that they need. And those folks have the GrandPads all the time, you know, 365 days a year. And in that kind of wraparound model, those PACE clinicians are reaching out and managing care on a daily basis. So you have the same technology, a very senior-friendly, senior-focused tablet that in, you know, the case of WellMed is being deployed for clinical visits, telehealth visits, and moving between different patients, or you have more of the one-on-one model with more acute folks who need daily monitoring and care. And in those cases, it stays with them all the time.
So I've heard about your model for an aging population, but are you also reaching out to a population that doesn't have access to technology or internet access? Because this would make it very easy for them, especially if all the only technology they have is a small cell phone.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's a great point. So the ease of use of the GrandPad is absolutely transferable to any age group. I have this graph up on the screen here. You can see our average user is 83, but there are things about this platform that really make it attractive to folks who just don't have the technology for whatever reason. All of the GrandPads come 4G LTE enabled. So we control and provision the cellular network that they run on, and we work with all the major carriers, and they're just very, very easy to use. And we also provide the portal environment that allows care providers of any sort, right? Whether it's a, you know, we've worked with immigrant care organizations, mental health organizations, care providers use our portal to connect with the GrandPads. And really only trusted sources can reach the GrandPads. So you have to be a trusted source registered on our platform. And what that means is whether you're giving a GrandPad to a senior for a long-term care situation, or a 3-month post-acute care situation, or you're giving it to somebody in an acute mental health situation, you have essentially a direct digital portal to reach that patient for whatever the needs may be, as opposed to just sort of dropping off any kind of digital technology and hoping they download the right app and hoping they can get on Wi-Fi. So yeah, that's a great point. The simplicity of the technology and the sort of wraparound support of it can work in a number of different care settings.
There was another question by somebody in the chat. I don't know if you're looking at the chat.
I can't see the chat. I'm not. Okay. I think I'm not technologically savvy enough to have the chat up at the same time that I got the slides up. So.
Okay, Eric, you might weed through those. But when these people use these, they don't own them. They're just. They're just being loaned to them. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. And with our healthcare partners, that is the case. Now, the consumer model, typically that is a purchase, or even in that case, it's a subscription. But from the healthcare provider standpoint, so in WellMed's case, you know, WellMed owns a fleet of GrandPads, and they use those to rove around and do telehealth. Similarly, with a PACE organization, they own a fleet of GrandPads. They deploy them for longer use setting in the patient's home, but they own it and then they retrieve it. And really we do it all on a subscription basis. So you're really kind of licensing the device. We include the device and all the service and the LTE as part of the subscription. It's a one sort of single fee for all of that.
I know it's GrandPad, but are you white labeling any of these so that people can buy them and companies can buy them and it can have WellMed on it?
Well, that's a good question. And I think it is certainly something that's possible that we could discuss. You have to go up the food chain farther than Jim and me, because that's something that our CEO is very tuned into, meaning he obviously wants our name out there too, but it's certainly a discussion we can have.
I still didn't catch who pays whom.
WellMed is paying GrandPad.
Yep.
I know. But how about the patient? Is the patient paying you?
It depends on their plan, right? So Medicare Advantage, some of our seniors can get Medicare Advantage for free. It's just simply signing up for filling out all the paperwork during open enrollment. Open enrollment kicks off on the 15th of October, and it runs for 6 weeks. But as I mentioned, with our 5-star plan that we have in San Antonio, you can enroll anytime into a Medicare Advantage. You just have to speak to a broker that handles those plans, and they would talk through those specifics.
So, yeah. So the insurance company,
CMS, is paying us.
And that's true really of all of our healthcare partners. They're getting reimbursement dollars from CMS for their participants, for their patients, because they're all Medicare eligible. And then the GrandPad simply becomes a part of their care plan. So they're spending a certain amount of money having a clinic open. They're spending a certain amount of money having people behind the desk scheduling appointments, and they have technology to do that. This technology, which allows for digital engagement and telehealth, becomes part of that overall care delivery process. And, you know, in the age of telemedicine, the question is going to be, look, we're shifting a bunch of our care delivery model towards telemedicine. My doctors used to see this many people in the clinic, but now they're going to see 30% of those via telemedicine. But what am I going to do with the percentage of my population that doesn't have the technology to receive the call from the doctor? How am I going to reach them? And as Eric will tell you, in the Medicare Advantage model, you can't afford not to reach them. If you don't have the clinical engagement that you need on an annual basis, you won't get your reimbursement from CMS. So it's not just nice to take care of them. It's necessary to take care of them. It's part of the payment model of CMS, or your reimbursement rates will collapse.
I could talk about it all day as far as the payment. If in fact we didn't see all of our patients, we would lose billions of dollars. But by seeing the patients and addressing their issues, making sure they're getting the care that they need, WellMed has grown to a Fortune 400 company, and we're able to do a lot of great things for our patients, including outreach. We've served over 1 million meals. The GrandPad program that we've put out there, anything that we need to do to see our patients, we're doing. And that's the benefit of we're working off of revenue from last year, all the patients that we saw last year and the risk that was adjusted for on those patients last year. Those are the reimbursements we're reaping this year. And then next year will be from the folks that we saw this year. So,
yeah. And that's
consciously hiring.
I'm sorry.
Did the patient consciously make a decision to hire you?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. They select WellMed for their caregiver. Or if they're on a plan and they're with another PCP, they might not even know that WellMed is helping their PCP with delivering their care. So you could say Gonzaga. Everyone knows Gonzaga in San Antonio. Gonzaga is one of our partners as well. We help them with some of their patient care.
Eric, I have a question. I guess that's a patient, doctor, their primary care provider, who decides or who identifies these situations, where we need to get a GrandPad, a tablet in front of a senior? That's the first question. The second one is, do you leave them there? How long? Is it based on each individual? Like, can some seniors that don't have the, issues with technology, do you just leave them there for more than just one appointment, for a week, a month, or whatever, and they're able to log on and take all their stats and that, do their appointments with the doctor, and or like somebody has, is recovering and you have that available to them? It's like, just how do you identify who does that in your group? Where there is a need.
Right. Yeah, we have a team of folks that's assessing all of the billing perspective. So claims that come in on our patients, whether or not they've had an annual well visit is the first flag. So if they haven't had an annual well visit, then we need to see them to make sure that their care needs are addressed. And so those patients are the folks that we're reaching out to and engaging, not only engaging those patients, but if they're not with a WellMed clinic, we're engaging their PCPs to ask them, do you want to schedule with this patient, or would you like us to see them? So there's a lot of engagement there, as well as, I think that we helped present sort of this roving model to WellMed. I can't remember if we were the folks that sparked that with them, but their traditional model is the one-to-one device where you keep it with a patient long-term, and there's a great relationship that builds there. And we have pilots for those in certain aspects of our care. And also we do have other RPM, remote patient monitoring systems, that are available for those patients with congestive heart failure or something along those lines. So there are other tools that we use for those sorts of things. But But yeah, I mean, we can continue to partner with GrandPad and evolve sort of the use case. I think we spark ideas and bounce things off of each other about how we can continue to partner.
Anne had a good question in the chat. How, like with a lot of appointments, you've got to take, you know, blood pressure, temperature, mm-hmm. Does GrandPad allow for that, for the individual to do that, or do the transportation, whoever's taking the tablet to them, do they provide those services?
Well, I know GrandPad is pairing with some devices, but in our current model, we have peripheral devices that, and sort of a kit that we take to our patients. So our team of drivers that drop off the GrandPad and blood pressure cuff and weight scale thermometer, oxygen saturation, all of those tools are can be dropped off with the GrandPad, and we have pretty simple instructions on there. You know, the patient can hold up the device and show us what the blood pressure reading is, as well as their oxygen saturation and things like that, so that we can close those gaps. And as CMS has evolved how those things can be reported, you can even take blood pressure over the phone, I believe, and close that gap. So you don't need to actually see the device, but we do provide them instructions on how to use the devices, both English, Spanish. We have a lot of Spanish speaking patients and make sure that they can do that. And if need be, we can have an LVN or someone less costly than a physician, walk the patient through sort of an onboarding, get those vitals before the provider comes in and sees the patient.
Yeah, and GrandPad is developing a suite of connected devices that could be used in the WellMed model or for the, you know, long-term when the GrandPad lives in the home for those sort of higher need, higher utilization patients. And when you think about that population, you know, Eric's looking at a population, WellMed sits down and they look at their population and they say, We are not, if we don't see these people this year for a wellness check and for an appointment, it will affect our revenue next year. Moreover, we really also need to see them to make sure that they're well. Let's get the technology out so that we know we can engage them. We control the technology. We know it's going to work. We know that they're going to answer. I just put the slide up showing, you know, the answer rate on these calls is extremely high. Over 100,000 calls that WellMed has done since the inception in the spring. That's when you're managing this huge population. If you think about the one-on-one model where, you know, a PACE organization is actively involved in the daily care of these people, wellness, medical check, medicine checks, you know, meals and all that stuff, that GrandPad being in that patient's home all the time means they can schedule appointments for them. They can check in on them when they need to. They can take vitals when they need to. They're scheduling social activities with them where they invite 30 members of their patient group, the PACE, to a wellness call or a memorial service or Thursday night bingo. So the technology in the home really becomes a portal to the care provider. And then it can also be used, of course, to connect them with family and loved ones as well. And the, you know, the differentiating factor is really that, I think we have a slide that lays this out a little bit, but that, you know, the tablets themselves are easy to use and they have inductive charging. So many of the pitfalls that plague seniors with this technology have been engineered out. The 4G LTE data is built in. Our folks are there 24/7 for live support. We don't use a call center. They're real people. They all work out of their homes in Southern Minnesota and Northern Iowa, so that the senior calling always gets a person. The entire ecosystem, everything that the senior touches is really designed and goes through a vetting process. This is really our team of, we call them Grand Advisors. They work for GrandPad and they beta test all of our technology and functionality. They range in age from 80 to 106. The 80-year-old and the 106-year-old are father and son. We've engineered, you know, specific things that we found are beneficial to seniors. The glass we use is different. It has a higher touch for dry skin. We use very large front-facing speakers. We use an industrial tablet so that it's more durable. These speakers are the loudest in the market. And we always keep the access to the GrandPad limited to only contacts who are loaded in our platform. So, you know, when WellMed delivers one of these tablets, it's not going to ring from a call from anybody except WellMed from the care providing team. So it's a closed universe. And then it also gives WellMed the ability to, you know, track the devices via GPS. They know where they are. They know what the battery life on them is. They can control all of the technology so that they can guarantee the telehealth visit can occur when it needs to occur, which increases staff efficiency and everything else. So,
Eric, has this rolled out to all of your markets, or are you, because it's relatively new, you started it in August, are you everywhere, or?
We are everywhere. Yep. We started in San Antonio, and a week later when we bought the, or we leased the 1,000, we scattered them across all of our markets.
So okay.
We're quick to innovate. You know, we were chasing that curve. We wanted to make sure that our patients were getting seen. So expediency was key.
Okay, we're almost out of time. One more question. Why don't we put the screen up of people so we can say our goodbyes? Is there anything else that anybody have a question?
Real quick, you've done a lot of investment in staff to support this, the drivers, the teams, the tablets. Are you seeing a return on the investment?
Oh yeah. Yeah. So our team was already in place. We just reallocated the staffing. Okay. You know, WellMed, as I mentioned, we have about 8,000 FTEs, and proud to say not one of those folks was put on furlough. Not one of our clinics was closed. We were there for our patients.
Are you going to do, you know, if you're doing so much remote supervision over your patients, do you need all that brick and mortar? You just started a new one.
You're looking inside of my mind, Linda. I've had those talks with our team. You know, hopefully, in my tenure, I can help with some of that shift. But I see a day when you know, we can have, you know, instead of 30 clinics in San Antonio, we could have just a few scattered around the Metroplex and do a lot of care virtually. And when we did need to see our patients in person, they could be taken to one of our larger, you know, clinics.
Okay. All right.
Potentially.
Anything else? I find this fascinating. I do happen to know that you opened up a new clinic in a building that's not even completed yet, across from Home Depot. Mm-hmm. I said, well, look at that. It's still under construction, but WellMed's there. So, okay. If nobody else has anything, thank you very much. We appreciate what you've told us, Eric, and sharing. And we're one of the first groups that they've talked to about this. So we're delighted. And Nathan, thank you for being with us. Jim,
it was
also
a pleasure to meet you. Yep.
You're welcome.
Thanks so much.
Pleasure to meet you all. So this is exciting, and I think we're going to see a lot more of this going on. So thanks to everybody. Our next speaker is going to be Dr. Larry Schlesinger, and he's head of Southwest Research Institute. I call it the monkey farm. Melissa hates that. It's the largest primate research institute in the world. And so he's going to talk to us about what they're doing in terms of trying to find a cure for COVID.
They're primates.
They're primates, I know. Primates. Monkeys, apes, gorillas, everything. So it's a real interesting place, and he's a great guy. So he will be our next speaker. So with that, goodbye, good luck, much success to everybody, and we'll see you online next time. And
thanks,
that'll
Linda.
Be in 2 weeks.
Thanks,
okay.
Linda. Thank you.
Thanks,
take care.
Bye.
Thanks, Linda.
Bye. Thanks.
Glad to have all of you.